This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's T Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's T Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T today or visit mensteclinic.com. That's mensteclinic.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I blame Bobby. Yeah. Bobby comes in here. He's just late and getting all his stuff together. Then he throws stuff at you. You're bringing him headphones. He frazzles you. You're in here 2 hours early. He decides to come in here last second.
2 hours early and still can't pull all the Jerry audio. Impressive.
Sean Treif, Cowboys insider Bobby Belt, RJ Choppy is out a few more days on vacay in Italy. We're live on the FanCam Twitch and YouTube. Zach Woolchuck will join us live in studio for 2 hours starting at 8 a.m.
He does not, he's not happy with me right now, that one sitting behind that glass.
Aiden?
No, Peyton. Peyton's going to take that, he's going to take that all seriously now. Now he's going to be all butthurt the rest of the show.
What?
He'll be all right. It's two against one. Okay, yesterday, I enjoyed that pre-draft press conference. I thought Jerry Jones did a very nice job explaining a bunch of different things. I know that that is as criminal as giving Nico Harrison any type of positive feedback. But before we get to the draft stuff, what are these two pretty substantive trades that Jerry says they're working on as we speak?
Yeah, that's the... As soon as he said that, I think everybody started poking around and go like, okay, what is this? There's got to be a little bit of a grain of salt here. Sometimes when he says substantive trade, that could very well mean an Amari Cooper type of deal.
Yeah.
Other times he might be talking about Jonathan Mingo.
Exactly.
And that's the only thing is that I'm not sure which one is. I immediately, where my head jumped to was, all right, if Jerry's saying they're talking on two different trades, who were some of the names that were being thrown around by Schefter in his article the other day of veterans that could get moved and guys on, you know, short-term deals that could get moved? So obviously you start thinking about, okay, Jalen Ramsey was on that list. That's a big name where we've heard trade talk recently. You've got Tyreek Hill, which we've wondered about all offseason if they would go that direction.
I'm out.
You're out on Tyreek Hill?
I'm out on Tyreek Hill. I had been entertaining it. He's a piece of crap.
He is.
He just is. Like, all the baby stuff, another baby mama thing, baby on the balcony, 911 calls. He's just a piece of crap. I'm out.
I didn't hear it or see it. There were some people saying, I guess, that Charles Robinson yesterday had speculated that he was doing radio in Pittsburgh, and Charles Robinson from Yahoo had speculated that Dallas might be in on George Pickens. And Pickens would, if some of the chatter we're starting to hear, which, I mean, Jane talked about Walter Nolan from Ole Miss being a potential pick at 12 or in the first round if they trade back. If the Cowboys say, we're going to take a position other than receiver in the first round, then they might look at it and say, well, now we got to go find our number two. So if we've set on this, then we need to go make a move. And at that point, a Pickens connection would make some sense. I also think it's important when we mentioned Treylon Burks as being a guy that could get moved the other day. They loved Burks when he was coming out.
Really?
I mean, he was...
Would Cam Ward allow that?
I mean, look, Cam Ward is... Because he's slam dunk going to Tennessee now, but that was... Treylon Burks is a guy who's been pretty disappointing, but that's an Arkansas guy. They love their Arkansas guys, and he was compared coming out to, like, A.J. Brown, Deebo Samuel. That was the type of guy he was supposed to
be. When Jerry hypes up two moves, my mind, probably because, you know, recency burnous, not biased, but got burned by the Mingo deal, my mind goes more towards that type of name. And I'm like, okay, so what what fourth, fifth, sixth round picks do the Cowboys have to play around with? I was hoping I didn't see any fifth or any sixth, so that meant they had to give up something fun, like a third or a fourth to get a bigger name. The Cowboys are at 12 in the first tomorrow night. Second round, one third round, one fourth round. Well, fourth round, no pick. Fifth round, they have it. Six and a seventh.
Yeah, I need to...
They have seven picks.
I need to look at... They should have more than that. I think they've got a couple more than that because they've just got a bunch of comp picks that they've stacked in fifth, sixth.
And then like Milton return.
Right.
Elam return. That
so
type of stuff.
The
okay.
What I'm trying to figure out is... And what I need to do some research on is how much does the price tend to go up on draft day trades? Like in the past, have we seen typically that...
Here we go. Let me correct it from a better article than WFAA's. Two fifths, two sixths, three sevenths, no fourth. All right? Yeah. Two fifths, two sixths, three sevenths. So you could play around with something like that for something smaller.
Yeah, and I mean, you could entertain a next year pick. Like you could say, all right, we're going to give up next year's two. And so I don't know. I got to see if in the history of draft day trades, has moving a player on draft day typically meant you pay a tax?
Yeah.
Or is it something where you don't get as much value because you feel you're kind of desperate and you're trying to get something out? And so I would think that Dallas on this one would be the positions I would imagine they would be talking about on this one would be receiver, probably. Some offensive line depth, maybe. Defensive line depth is going to be an issue for them. But I mean, other than that, like if you're saying two trades, I just immediately start thinking around and go like, I start looking around and go like, I don't know what makes sense to say we're involved in two things other than if you're talking about the same position and you're trying to decide on which one you want.
Another odd Cowboy story and sighting. Stephon Gilmore just walking through the lobby, just going and getting a tour of the star, as Calvin Watkins said, Stephon Gilmore, they asked about it. They started laughing there at the presser. Calvin Watkins reports it had nothing to do with the football visit.
Yeah, it was. And at the time, nobody knew that. And so when they were tweeting it, it's just because like, oh, Stephon Gilmore's walking around here. What's going on here?
Yeah.
This is what happens when you have, and it's not a bad thing. I don't mean this is a bad thing, but this is what happens when you have so many different businesses officing out of the star. If he was there for a non-football reason, there's no telling who he may have been meeting with in those buildings, who he may have made a relationship with while he was here. Typically, players don't like to be seen boldly walking through the atrium for that reason. So that's a little surprising to me that he was just walking in there to be seen. But I would imagine, yeah, he was in there probably meeting with somebody in one of the business suites. You'll see that a lot where people just kind of walk through and then you're like, oh, what's that person doing there? And you maybe ask somebody about it and then you'll hear back that, no, it's not anything significant. They're there for a meeting.
And Gilmore is 34, so if he doesn't end up on the Cowboys, I'm not going to be crying too hard about that. The board is not done. The latest they've gone in the process, according to Jerry, saying that the board has not been finalized.
Yeah, and this is...
Also joking, he'll invite the media into the draft room to look at it. Will McClay saying, quote, please no.
Because you know what? Will has to say that because Will knows that he might do that.
He did do that.
So
he did do that after round one a few years back in the post-draft presser. You got to listen to the post-draft presser on The Fan. One of my favorite things is getting in the car on the ride home, listening to that. Because you don't know what he'll unveil.
Yeah. Like you mentioned, he just flat out holds up a sheet and goes like, here was our draft board. And Steven has to put his hand in front and go like, there's still players on that. You gotta put that down. But yeah, this is very late in the process for them not to have it done. I mean, the fact that it's tomorrow. Like the draft is tomorrow. And I don't think it's unusual for other teams necessarily. Some teams are finishing things up. They'll get things done maybe day of the draft or things like that. But the Cowboys... They grind year-round with their scouting staff to an extent that is not necessarily...
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
You don't just live in your home. you live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Mirrored by other teams. So they've usually put in so much time and finalized so many different things. I wonder if this is reflective of Schottenheimer's new staff and real changes that now the scouting staff is having to adjust to certain standards. And so they've had to put in overtime because we talked about it. We wondered if they were blowing us off a little bit in Indy. Just the if they're blowing media off in general. But we kept hearing from everybody out there, like, they have not been able to come up for air out here. It's been so busy compared to previous years. And I think it's just because they've tried to catch up on so many different things with the new staff. But this is really late in the process, it feels like, for things to not be completely settled to where you don't even know how many first-round grades you have yet.
Well, I thought the most interesting point that you brought up about this last night was, what does this do for the disagreement that could happen while you're on the clock? If you're deciding late, you're not more set in your ways for the decision-making while you're live.
Right. So, like, when they had a disagreement a couple years ago about Mazzie Smith versus Matthew Bergeron, they were able to reference back to, what have we said about this guy? You know, we settled on this. Look, this is what our board says. Where it's going to be much easier, I would imagine, if you get into a dispute where it's like, we didn't even have this settled until this morning. So what you're just saying, like, whatever we decided at 10 a.m. this morning is all of a sudden gospel. It's not like we've sat on this opinion for 2-3 weeks. And so that's going to be, I wonder if we are going to see at each pick when they cut to that war room cam, if when they cut over there, we're going to see a little bit more intense debate and a little bit more uncertainty and guys really trying to lobby to change things at the last second.
Correct me if I'm wrong, which I'm probably not, but if you have a difference of opinion, I didn't get anything yesterday in terms of positional hints, except I thought the best thing came when it was the running game being discussed. And it was a really good question asked from Pat Doney. Pat Doney's on a roll these past few days after the Nico press conference. How do you view the running back now? Did Saquon wake you up and change what happened to Philadelphia? And Jerry said it was certainly an eye-opener. And Doney basically asked Schottenheimer and Jerry about the positional running back value, and Jerry took it up front to the big boys.
Boy, are we in great shape. One thing Shotty did, he did it right when I said, boy, we want some attention to that offensive line, and he gets his coordinator. That's one heck of an expert there, and he gets one of the best offensive guys. I can't tell you how much I appreciate that. Team within the team, the offensive line. And so one of the things that we started the meetings off with was, guys, we've had some of the best offensive lines around Dak known to man. And we've also had some pretty good running backs around him, too, around the same deal. Can you put that kind of resources in your offensive line? And can we get up there playing around the rim so that we can get one of these things with that offensive line? And I said, we've been with Larry Allen. We got one when he was rookie. Other than that, we didn't get one. Okay, Zach, we didn't get one. Okay, so it doesn't automatically work. Okay. But generally, when you step back and look at it, we've had some pretty good teams around a War Daddy drafted offensive line with a lot of ones. Obviously, when those guys get ready to come up, if they're that kind of player, then you're going to have a lot of resources invested in that offensive line out there with it. Did it pay off? Well, it's done a pretty good job for Dak. Did a good job for the running backs that were around him pretty good there. So as you've got something to look at. we won't necessarily eliminate because we've got the resources we have in the offensive line this weekend. We won't eliminate that because of that experience.
So Jerry said last year he thought the offensive line was a bigger problem than the actual running backs. He cited DeMarco's year. He goes, oh yeah, look at that really good offensive line. So I felt like Jerry was leaning more towards, which I agree with. I know Choppy, I think he's adjusted on running back, but he would agree with as well. Jerry is saying the offensive line makes the running back versus the other way around.
Oh yeah, I mean, occasionally you do have Barry Sanders, which history has kind of started talking about those Lions offensive lines as if they were the worst in history when they talk about Barry. It wasn't that bad, but Barry did definitely created where there wasn't, you know, space at times over there. So a running back can do that, but it's such a rare talent and ability. And you're talking about like once in a generation type of running back. So yeah, offensive line, that's generally how you clear up the space. That's how you build it up. And I wonder just by hearing that, if that is reflective of what they would draft, or if it's more that's the reference that Jerry was talking about with trades.
We're getting some messages from TC, from Josh, from Emilio. Happy birthday, Emilio. From Rucker saying the Odyssey app is tripping. It's taking us back to like a Rangers blackout broadcast. I just had Peyton check it, and he said it was fine. So, Aiden, keep monitoring that as well, please, so we can let the bosses know if something is messed up with the app. And Pepe, keep it up live and running as well to see if it's all good. 877-881-1053 to let us know. We're always checking the Franklin Franco Injury Attorney text line, 877-881-1053. The latest on Shannon Sharp. How much trouble is he in? And Stephen A. Smith sounds like he thinks Nico Harrison should be launched into space with Katy Perry. Next on 105.3 The Fan.